You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bill Sardi. Now, this is ordinarily Open Line Wednesday, and I really look forward to doing the Open Line program, but I felt that with things unfolding as they are, as far as the dread swine flu epidemic that is taking place in Mexico now, and we're hearing about the moving troops towards the border, we're hearing about a child dying in Texas, a 23-year-old child. The disease is now in America, and people are dying. And, of course, the president talking about the threat this evening. And, ladies and gentlemen, I think maybe we need to take a step back and look at what we really know about how they create panics in the world today, how they introduce new diseases in the world today, how there are laboratories that actually create terrible and virulent diseases. And as far as that child who died in Texas, they didn't mention it, at least you had to read a long way to find out. It was really a child that came from Mexico who was deadly ill and who they brought into Texas for treatment. And the child, who apparently did have some impairment of their immune system, did succumb to the disease. It's a tragedy, but this was not an American child who died. This was a Mexican child who contracted the disease in Mexico. And, well, without further ado, let's get to Bill Sardi, because he's done a lot of research into this, has some fascinating insight, and I want you out there in the listening audience to hear what he has to say and to heed what he has to say. Go right ahead, Bill. Thanks very much for being with us.
Well, these are exciting times, as you tell me all the time. Sometimes it makes people nervous. I do want to get the discussion. Maybe you can take some callers if I can get through some of this. It's all new material probably for your audience, but I wanted to go through a brief timeline so they would understand some of the events unfolding that surround this, and it helps us understand it a little bit better. And, of course, we do know about swine flu. We did hear about it years ago with Jerry Ford running for president. Swine flu was in 1976 brought out under the threat of a swine flu. Jerry Ford was trying to be president at the time. He needed some way to show great leadership and win an election, and all of a sudden the swine flu cropped up out of a military base. Seemed like it got exposed intentionally there. One trooper died, four were ill. That was enough to excite health authorities to say that the entire population had to be inoculated. And, of course, about 20% of the population was. There were hundreds of cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome, a respiratory and paralytic type of problem. And, of course, some people died from that. There were a few deaths, and lots of lawsuits and so on. So the public heard the march, jumped, and about 20% did go for the vaccine at the time. I believe it was an entire publicity stunt in order to get Gerry Ford elected. But
so one person died. There were four ill from this terrible epidemic. And, of course, Gerry Ford, remember, of course, people were furious with Ford because he had pardoned Nixon. Nixon wasn't guilty of anything at all. I think the phrase was, we don't want to look back, we just want to look forward, so we're going to pardon Nixon. And people were furious with Gerry Ford. He had to do something to prove that he was a real leader. He was going to save us from the threat of swine flu. There were 500 cases of Guillain-Barré disease. 25 people died of the vaccination. And, of course, about that time, they decided to stop the vaccination, and there wasn't any epidemic. It was all hype. It was all created by the media with the help of the government, of course.
So you can understand, in relation to today, we have one death from a child intentionally brought over here to go to stage 5 and possibly stage 6 with the World Health Organization alert ratings. Now, the alert rating is it's spreading across borders. So they made that happen here with this case. So then they could say, now they're mobilizing troops, as I understand it, and Homeland Security. I don't know whether that's to lock down us in quarantine, but hopefully a border would close somewhere here. We've never been able to get the Mexican border to close properly. I've been saying for years, not because we want to freeze out Mexican labor or people or create hardship, it's because the Mexican population is not healthy, and they do bring disease, including tuberculosis, pertussis, which is whooping cough, and of course many other diseases here. And so they're not screened for health, they don't go through the regular things, and then tuberculosis and whooping cough have been, of course, coming here because of that. The authorities cover up the whooping cough problem, which is in most of the schools in the United States. But when kids get a cough, why, they don't go to look that it's really whooping cough coming in here from the immigrant children. So, nonetheless, this is kind of what goes on. But I want to alert you that an entire population was called to a mandated vaccination of the swine flu, all in 1976, over one death with nothing crossing any border. So, I mean, this is the kind of insanity that Americans will fall for. Anyway, we simply go to, in our timeline here, to January 2009, when Mexican President Felipe Calderon, of course, visits the White House shortly after our president's election. The economy in Mexico is faltering. Peso is due to be devalued. It's a very difficult time. The president there is going to have to do something to hold on to control of the population. It's also, at this time, followed by a trip by our president, Barack Obama, to Mexico a few days before this whole thing started. In fact, you've probably read where he shook the hand of someone there in Mexico, an authority there at a local museum or something, where the guy died a few days later, supposedly the swine flu. They're denying that now. This was April 16 and 17, and of course he visited the National Anthropology Museum, and Felipe Solis was the director there. He's now deceased, and of course people wondering whether Barack Obama brought the disease back here. And of course, but we can see the exchange. The president was here, then our president was there.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Bill Sardi. And of course, Bill is just talking about the series of events, of course, that they were having trouble in Mexico, real economic problems. And of course, the president down there was having real questions about his popularity. But of course, now he's doing very well. He's certainly a lockdown in Mexico. He's suspended children going to school. He's acted like a real leader to control this this epidemic. And we don't know how many people have died. They say somewhere 140 people may have died. They always, you notice how they say may have, possibly have, probably had. They don't say it really happened because they haven't checked most of them for this specific type of virus. But pick up the story there, Bill.
Well, certainly in 9/11 we learned that 20,000, 30,000 people died. That came down to about 2,000 or 3,000. So they shock us with a high body count in the beginning. So we do see the exchange of the presidents in between all this time in a kind of an eerie kind of series of events. On March the 19th, now this is almost a month before our president visits there, why the French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, is visiting Mexico City to announce an agreement with Mexican authorities to build a 100 million euro facility, that's the value of it, to manufacture influenza vaccine in Mexico City. Now, the company is Sanofi Aventis, a French company, build a facility to produce 25 million doses of seasonal flu vaccine. That's kind of an odd development, I would think. And, of course, this thing had actually been brewing for some time before it was announced in April, and there were developments there, children getting sick, people getting sick, and then finally deciding that it was flu, then finally deciding that they better send some of the samples up to Canada. This was on April the 17th, where they then were confirmed as swine flu. But the odd thing is it seems to have a kind of a four-pronged type of a flu, which we'll try to explain to you, but it has a swine flu, it has a human flu. There's four strains in there. It seems to be an actual intentionally designed virus to give humans a broad exposure to a lot of the full range of type A influenza viruses, which I'll try to explain.
I think it's important that for people to understand that swine get influenza all the time. The swine
30% of our pigs here in the country have it, and there are human swine cases throughout the world and have been for the last 10 years.
But they're usually very mild, and nobody dies of them.
Diagnosed, and there isn't a pandemic called over 1 or 2 or 5 or 10 or 20. And, you know, and most people get the swine flu, don't even know they have it. Now, oddly enough, on March the 19th, now this is clearly a month before Barack Obama visits, an article in the Seguin, Texas Gazette Enterprise. Now, this is a newspaper there written by a writer, Ron Maloney, suggests that a rehearsal for a pandemic disaster is being scheduled for May the 2nd. Isn't this odd? And it says that the Guadalupe County Emergency Management and their counterparts around the country are preparing for just such a scenario. You mean all the county health departments in the United States are going to be conducting suddenly emergency rehearsals for a pandemic flu outbreak? And this was a month before we have any of this going on. How could this possibly be happening as just by coincidence? So apparently government had foreknowledge of all of this, and we're going to go on and explain this foreknowledge issue because it gets pretty obvious that government knew all of this was coming. And what we have is a rather odd press release from Replicans Limited, a Boston vaccine maker, which said in its own press release right after this was announced by health authorities here and the World Health Organization that Mexico was having a problem with swine flu. This company in Boston then says, well, they had predicted this outbreak a year earlier and shared it with U.S. government authorities. And in fact, they brag that they have a technology that can predict the eventual gene mutations leading on changes in the amino acid sequences and so on, so that they can predict the changes that will lead up to a pandemic strain that no one has immunity to. So this company then issues a press release, but in it unwittingly concedes that they've been working with government here in the United States. So we have some complicit argument here that the United States government certainly had advanced knowledge of this whole thing and was certainly preparing rehearsals by county health authorities and so on to deal with this. The article in that Texas paper, county plans to deal with the unthinkable, and they plan to have drive-in vaccinations. And this was, of course, a rehearsal. If they did this rehearsal, they would need 1,000 volunteers to attempt to vaccinate the entire population of that county. In South Texas, 115,000 people. They said in 36 hours they were going to try and do this. Now, this would be a rehearsal only, but it would require automobile lines miles and miles long, lined up, of course, as people would get these injections in their car. It says here 41 miles long, and so on. So you imagine doing this for a larger town in Texas like San Antonio. There's five cities in Texas with a million population. So you can see that all of a sudden this looks like it's more of a staged event. And then, of course, Dr. John Carlo, the Dallas County medical director, then is seen on television in a YouTube clip, and his quote is, "This strain of swine influenza that's been cultured in a laboratory is something that's not been seen anywhere actually in the United States or the world, so this is actually a new strain of influenza that's been identified." So he's really saying here that this is actually an engineered type of a virus, not seen anywhere else. Cultured in a laboratory. He knows this is synthetically made up and blurbs it out. You can find it on YouTube, Dr. John Carlo. It was first broadcast by the Globe and Mail in Canada, but you can find it elsewhere. And, of course, what they do concede here, though, is that not all the cases of flu are being caused by that swine influenza. There are other strains, but somehow they're just emphasizing this swine flu. So that we understand really what's going on. Now, the number of deaths, I'm hearing everything from doctors are dying like flies, that they're, reporting heart attacks as the cause of death. I just talked to people in Mexico City within the hour, and all of these rumors are running around Mexico. And, of course, the people there, we started out with a level 3 World Health Organization alert. Now we're up to 4, then we went to 5 today. And so, you know, they seem to be mobilizing and making all this happen. It was a director at the World Health Organization said we'd be very serious signal that countries ought to be dusting off their pandemic plans if it goes up to a level 4. Well, we passed that yesterday. So pandemic plans, you're talking about major lockdown, quarantines, inability to get on airplanes, all kinds of issues going on there. So we do see this spreading to the United States, also countries like France, Canada, New Zealand. But again, all these seem to be children who had visited, the school children had visited Mexico and then somehow came down with this. It just seems too obvious to me, like they might have been exposed on an airplane or something. Nonetheless, all these cases have resolved. We don't see any mortality out of this. The mortality rate in the 1918 Spanish flu was about 2.5 to 5%, roughly. That is the number of cases that got the flu. How many died? About 2.5 to 5 out of 100. And here we have usually a 1 to 4% mortality rate in swine flu when it becomes a human issue. But here in Mexico, there's about 2,000 infected. These numbers are all over the map, so we have different sources. They say about 159 died in the one article I read, and of course, that would give us about an 8% mortality rate, which would be way over what the Spanish flu was. But recall now, this is in an unhealthy population. This is they don't have good nutrition. They have other diseases. They walk around the street with tuberculosis and whooping cough and other diseases. So they have co-infection, and this compromises their immune systems. They don't have clean food and water and public hygiene. So this is the reason we believe at why you see, of course, the higher rate of mortality, and it's not going anywhere else.
But don't you think, Bill, that an awful lot of people down there probably have the disease? It's so mild that they don't even report it. They
don't go to the doctor. Absolutely, because, you know, if you've been to Mexico, it's a population of 100 million people, and there's so many people, which they call the campesinos, living out in the country. And, of course, they're isolated. And the issue is, how would they even get this? They're getting it in some manner. And we're not sure what the geographical distribution is. It seems to be centered around Mexico City, which tells us there's been an exposure there intentionally. Now, it's kind of interesting when you read some of the issues about how certain influenza virus pandemics began. And, of course, they say every 68 years or so, there's an outbreak. And, of course, that doesn't really hold true. They had an outbreak in 1918, the Spanish flu, and then, of course, the Hong Kong flu was 1968. We had, in between, a Russian pseudo-pandemic, they called it, 1977, which was not 68 years. Between the Asian flu was 1957, Hong Kong flu 1968, Russian pseudo-pandemic, they call it. Well, they don't tell us now. They're only admitting years later that the Russian pseudo-pandemic, which they call a pseudo-one, is because it got released from a frozen, stored 1950 human virus out of a laboratory.
Hold that thought, Bill. We'll be right back here in just a moment. And the question is, where did this entirely new organism come from? Bill, go ahead and pick up the story.
Well, of course, you know, as we say, government had foreknowledge. We're not really convinced, you know, that government is just...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
This is an H5N1, very similar to what, of course, caused the Spanish flu many, many years ago, back in 1918. You remember, of course, they sent people up to the permafrost to dig up the bodies so they could get samples of this deadly virus and then bring it into our laboratories and start culturing it. Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. If it ever got out of the laboratory and started to spread again, it could kill hundreds of millions of people. Why would you get a new virus and then circulate it all over the world in laboratories? And then we hear that within the last 3 weeks, somebody went into a lab there at Fort Detrick, Maryland, and stole 3 vials of deadly viruses. Why would you have deadly viruses unless they were under, totally locked down where they could not be lost? And if we can't trust them, they should not have these viruses. And why are we disseminating this to laboratories all over the world so that they can work to create new and deadly forms of disease as a form of mass killing? Doesn't make any sense, or maybe it does, but go right ahead, Bill.
Well, one of the tip-offs in this whole thing is that we have Homeland Security and not one hint of the word bioterrorist. Now, if you had a very odd accumulation of these 4 strains of flu, you would think, well, somebody aggregated them together, somebody did this, we'd be talking about bioterrorism. Why, not a hint that they're even thinking about it. Why not? It certainly looks like that. This didn't occur naturally, and it seems to be geographically centered around Mexico City. And the response to this in the world, by the way, Scotland also ordered rehearsals for flu a pandemic before all this was announced by the World Health Organization. I'll try to look up the date for you when that was released out. It's in a timeline that I'm writing. But, trying to see how all this is unfolding. New Zealand said they had 10 students came back from Mexico that were highly likely to be infected with an influenza A strain virus, and said they will instigate a full emergency response structure on Monday. This was on Sunday, as they prepare for a potential swine flu pandemic. What are you talking about? On a highly likely, unconfirmed? I mean, this just doesn't make any sense. So you have countries over-responding. We've had swine flu. You've had swine flu cases in humans over the last 10 years. Not too many in the United States here recently. The measures that they're suggesting that we would do to protect from this, wash our hands, wear masks, all these are the largely ineffective measures. And largely what we want to know is, how do we improve immunity? All we have are these worthless Tamiflu-type drugs. And it's expensive, not practical for world populations. I don't know what the stockpile is there in Mexico, but most of the people couldn't afford it. And so we have something where we ought to be giving vitamin D pills. You ought to be stocking up on vitamin D. I think there will be a worldwide shortage in vitamin D pills if you're one of those people who has learned that vitamin D boosts your immunity, triggers and activates your macrophages and neutrophils, your white blood cells, to respond to infection. Then, of course, that's what we're trying to share with Mexico. I was on the phone with Mexican authorities tonight, trying to tell them the whole story about vitamin D and what they need. We're trying to get this around the government because we know probably the powers that be, the United States and others, will block any such effort. But you see, hospitals and doctors' offices in Mexico are working regionally without very many resources. Vitamin D is just a 10-cent cure, and it could be that we get them the right information, they'll just take action on their own, realizing that their populations are simply at risk. So we're trying to get around some of these efforts sometimes to stop this thing. If you recall, our own country sent Al Gore to South Africa just to stop a generic AIDS drug that was there because we didn't want it interrupting our patents. And, of course, we wouldn't want this thing to interrupt our sale of Tamiflu all over the world, as now we see this drug. And remember now, Tamiflu was developed by Gilead Pharmaceuticals. Don Rumsfeld was the president. And, of course, eventually it's now being marketed by Roche and manufactured by them. And then other drug companies also sell it. So the action of Tamiflu, one of the actions, is a neuraminidase inhibitor. Now, neuraminidase is an enzyme, and it helps, as the virus approaches your living cells, it has to go into the cell and use our printing press, our genetic material, to make copies of itself. This is how the viruses begin to make millions and billions of copies. And in order to get in the cell docks up and has a little protein or enzyme called neuraminidase, and that drills a hole into
the wall of our cell. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and you go right ahead, Bill.
Well, certainly we've been going over all of this scenario here. We've been talking how to boost immunity. I've been trying to explain how viruses enter your cellular machinery. Viruses are really not totally live germs like a bacterium or a fungus. They need your cells to replicate themselves. So they get into our genetic machinery. In order to get into the cell, they have to drill a little hole in the wall or the membrane of your cells. They do that with an enzyme called neuraminidase. The Tamiflu drug is a neuraminidase inhibitor. Now, it turns out that natural molecules you find in nature, found in red wine, resveratrol, you've heard about that on this show before, quercetin, also found in red onions, red apples, those are natural enzyme inhibitors, or that is, neuraminidase inhibitors. So, if you like a natural way to get there, just trying to give you some idea of how to make all this happen for you so that you can try to figure this out. There will never be, there's only enough doses of Tamiflu, I think, in the United States. There's quite a few million doses, but it's only enough for 5 million people or so. I think they have 50 million doses, but you see people take about 10 doses. So it just isn't, enough for really anybody. They're just, of course, it's cost millions of dollars and all that. One of the interesting things, I'm writing a follow-up report, so if you want what I'm talking about tonight online, just go on your browser to Google, type in Bill Sardi, S-A-R-D-I, and swine flu, and you'll see somebody has posted one of my reports. I don't have a website up at the moment, but one of the interesting things I'm doing in a follow-up report is to try to help the public understand just exactly how virologists, these scientists that deal with viruses, how they think. And they have an assumptions in their thinking in this whole outbreak. One of them is that epidemics arise every 68 years. The other one is that a bird or swine flu viruses may be combined with human viruses, therefore making them more virulent. This is true, and this is what they think has happened, though it seems to be intentionally engineered. Number three, the mortality rate is unusually high. We don't see that here yet. But one of the very interesting things is that part of their rationale for this whole thing is that they believe, and this comes from James Robertson.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here, Bill. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is Bill Sardi. If you have access to a computer, I'd simply suggest you go to your search engine and type in Bill Sardi, S-A-R-D-I, Bill Sardi, and then swine flu influenza. You'll actually get his article he put up a couple of days ago, and I'm sure that he's updating that, and this new article that will be here probably, in the next day or so?
Yes, I'm just working on it now.
All right, fine. So you go. This is the best way to get it. If you don't have an access to a computer, why, of course, we'd be glad to send you a copy. But if you get into the other items we talk about, just ask for a copy of Bill's article. But it is available on the Internet. Just with your search engine, Bill Sardi, or just Sardi, and then swine influenza. But go right ahead, Bill.
Well, what we have is this Dr. James Robertson at the Sheffield Vaccine Center. It's a center in the United Kingdom, and he's a very influential, very well connected in vaccine circles. This is what, of course, Dr. Horowitz has pointed out, is some of these connections, and of course he first alerted us to this. One of the thinking in the minds of virologists like Dr. Robertson is that a impending pandemic is going to occur. It's inevitable, and it's going to kill millions. But that we should maybe expose populations now to, of course, something that would give them partial immunity or full immunity when the big one comes. So in Dr. Robertson's own words, he explains that stockpiles of live vaccines with the cleavage site removed, they've done some genetic things to remove this little thing so it wouldn't be as virulent, could be used to, quote, prime the population in advance of a pandemic reaching the world. What he's talking about there is the very thing that we're alleging, that they have in mind of intentionally exposing the entire world population under the guise that it would protect them from the big one that would come behind it. And so under this, you've got license to commit murder. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, this is just beyond belief. It's in written words. We're trying to cite it all for you. Dr. Horowitz certainly alerted us to some of these connections. And of course, there's now an idea that they have a vaccine, which is not completely a vaccine. It's little snippets of genetic material from these various viruses. Novavax is the one making it of interest. Just exactly when this whole thing erupts, the swine flu epidemic is announced out of Mexico, Novavax issues a press release saying they just published a paper. Isn't that interesting? Showing how effective their near vaccine worked. It's not a vaccine that would give you long-term immunity, but it would boost your immunity because your body would see it coming, think it was a virus, and start activating macrophages, neutrophils, white blood cells to go attack the enemy. Well, the issue here is that's exactly what vitamin D does. That's exactly what vitamin C does. These other things can be used, but Novavax is trying to promote this. All of a sudden, they have a time study that just gets published coincidentally at the exact right time and is issued in the very early day or two of this whole thing. So it's just as if it was orchestrated. It certainly does look orchestrated, and it looks like everybody's complicit in this whole thing. Now, they did bring up that it's middle-aged, younger adults, not the very, very young children and not the elderly. The children don't have a developed immune system. The elderly have a compromised immune system. It's the younger adults in Mexico that are dying off, and that's what's got them concerned because that is the exact profile of the 1918 Spanish flu outbreak. But our soldiers went to war in 1918. They came back from World War I. They got tuberculosis overseas. They were coughing. There were no antibiotics. They were living with it. Then came the flu of 1918, the flu, a virus, the bacterium, a mycoplasma tuberculosis, in the lung, and of course, there you had two infections, and then a lot of people succumbed to this. In other parts of the world, most of the deaths of the 50 million that died in the world in 1918 were outside this country. I believe 50,000 or something like that died here. It wasn't a huge number, but it was certainly a large enough, and it's certainly regrettable, but nonetheless, you could see even here that a better off population, certainly the Pure Food and Drug Act, I think, was in place at that time. And so we had a more survivability from this this outbreak here, even in our country. But they're concerned because it looks like this one has the same profile by the age groups. Well, it was explained in 1918 because it was our young soldiers coming back and maybe giving the tuberculosis to their wives and so on, and they were the ones that then succumbed to their family and so on. So that's how that worked. We didn't have antibiotics or anything in 1918, so this was a different world at the time. So the Novavax vaccine, they're working on an intranasal one, so it wouldn't have to be injected. It would just be in a nasal passage and so on. So this is what they're trying to do. It all seems to be a commercialized, orchestrated event, and of course, we're just caught off guard as to what to do. And regardless of how I dismiss it and say it, you're probably not going to succumb to anything like this, as long as you're well-fed population, have your immune system working well. But we must remember there's a lot of asthmatics and people on certain drugs and elderly people in nursing homes and so on that may have diabetics that have a compromised immune system. So we do want to learn what to do about it, and they've left us empty-handed until we get symptoms, and then you're to run for the Tamiflu, which only shortens the course at the end. What you want to do is shorten the course at the beginning. And so this is what you attempt to do. That's what vitamin D does, is rally your immune system the very beginning of a threat. The problem is the viruses are replicating faster than your immune system makes white blood cells in the first 3 days of a common cold caused by adenoviruses or other types of infections. So you want to speed that up. You do that with vitamin D, and that's why it's so very, very important to you. And certainly anybody listening tonight, I would stock up with a year's supply of vitamin D. It's very inexpensive, and I believe there's going to be a world rush on this eventually. I don't believe, you see, what's happening is that the vaccine makers have made the vaccine for next year's flu. And so they're going to finish up with that very soon. So next year's flu season, already made by the vaccine makers, that will give them time now to start making a vaccine for this one. Well, that'll take at least 3 to 6 months. I believe it's more like the 6 month time. There's some companies saying they have technology that could make the vaccine in 3 weeks, but these are unproven vaccines. So what we're going to have, and by the way, the Novavax vaccine-like product has never been used in humans either, but if people start dying off like flies, they'll then gain license to get it on the market and don't have to go through all the approvals and do that in a foreign country that really doesn't apply to us. So that's why these companies are interested. They get a lot of their funding under the idea that bioterrorism, and we need them to help us in these kind of things. And so they don't even have to raise all the money for their companies, and they get it from government, and then they have a cozy relationship with people in government to declare, well, of course, pandemics so that their products can be sold. And that's how this relationship runs. My second article on this is how to stage a flu pandemic, and then I just tell everybody how they're doing it. So it's important for us to know the mechanisms. It'll relieve us a little bit what they're doing. But nonetheless, everybody's anxious, and the flu may come, and you may get it and not even know it, and just go on with your life. But nonetheless, people have anxiety over this, and that's why I'm trying in between the lines to tell you about things you can do. And, of course, garlic and oregano, these are all a crushed clove of garlic makes allicin. It's a 10-cent cure, and allicin kills off viruses. And you need to crush the garlic clove as much as you can. Wait about 5 minutes and try to take that down. It's very pungent. You might need to put it with something else, but it's a very strong antidote to viruses and so on. You only want to do that when you're really starting to get sick. But, you know, the swine flu vaccine, it might be months away is what they're saying. And so the world is left empty-handed here. And we really don't have any other good ways to do anything, and yet not a word about vitamins, not a word about building your immune system in any way. And so this is kind of what you have, is the World Health Authorities acting like there's nothing you can do but sit and wait till you get it and then try Tamiflu. So that's not true. And, of course, this is just what we learn. This is what their typical modus operandi is in dealing with these outbreaks of the flu. And this one, of course, seems to be totally manipulated and invented. So we're just trying to give you some of the ideas of how to deal with it emotionally. And information really counts here. As you know, we now see non-medically trained people. This lady in charge of Homeland Security is certainly not a medical person, and yet she's up there. So she's talking about things that only somebody has told her. She doesn't know these things. So it's just something that somebody tells her. So, you know, it's important that we see that these politically and commercially manipulated people are calling for these things, such as a lockdown in our homes. People are worried about a mandated vaccine program to come in and roll up your sleeve and make you get it. They can't do it now. They don't have a vaccine. How they would get you to take the drugs, I don't know. Now, when they do have a vaccine, which might be in a few months, the vaccine manufacturers can start making this fairly soon, and they would be headed to sell it in South America, where the winter flu season would be coming there before ours here and later in the year. So that's where this thing would be aimed, and this thing could be literally a weapon aimed at South America. I mean, this is what's coming. And so whether they lock down, prevent airplane flights, impoverish Mexico further, I don't know. I do know that people, the restaurants are closed in Mexico City. I talked to people there tonight. People are staying inside. That's the last thing to do. So we told Mexican authorities tonight to get out in the sunshine in the middle of the day, to get outside in the sun, make natural vitamin D. And, of course, we've learned that populations in the Mediterranean area don't seem to have the same level of infectious outbreaks, flu and so on, doesn't matter which disease it is, in infectious diseases, as the rest of the world. And we're not exactly sure why. They are a sunny population closer to the equator than we are, and that's part of it. They get a little bit more vitamin D. But what we found through exquisite research being done, that it has to do with the molecules in their diet. And in what happens is that in sick cells or cells that are malignant like cancer, there is a doorway, an entryway for vitamin D to get inside cells and do its job. And, of course, that vitamin D receptor site is what they call it. It's a doorway. Is weak and insensitive when you have sick cells that are infected by viruses, bacteria, or malignant like cancer. So it could be that the vitamin D never gets in the cell. Now, the way you sensitize the receptor for vitamin D on the surface of sick cells is red wine molecules, resveratrol, quercetin. And, of course, I even made a pill with vitamin D, resveratrol, quercetin, all those molecules all combined together. You sensitize the receptor because this is why the immune system gets defeated, is that the cancer cells, the germs themselves, are creating a situation where the vitamin D can't work. So this is the way that you would activate the immune system properly. And the infectious rate throughout the Mediterranean area is about 30% less than we see as occurring in the rest of the world. Have you heard about a flu outbreak throughout that Mediterranean area? You almost never hear about it. It's a little bit, but we don't have the same rate nor the mortality. And we think it's the combination of sunlight, vitamin D, and then, of course, these red wine molecules that are traditionally in the diet there. There are others, pomegranate, olive oil, and so on, that are similar, probably do the same thing. So it's the Mediterranean diet that seems to afford some protection against all this. So of course, the whole world is concerned. People are worried about eating pork. So the poor pig growers, the pig farms are going to be, they're destroying all the pigs in Egypt as we speak. What they're going to do here, I don't know. It's a totally destroyed industry, it will be, as people are concerned. You're cooking meat, it'll be destroyed, it won't be there. But about 30% of the swine, the pigs in the United States already have this. Nobody's been coming down with swine flu. But now, because it's in the news media, of course, we're concerned, and people are going to back away from eating pork. So we're going to have a destruction of an industry on top of all this. So, and all of this is just an overreaction. does seem to be orchestrated. We're going to learn more. Some people are catching on. Some people are knowledgeable enough to see that this is a contrived situation and being manipulated by a joint partnership behind the scenes between politicians and vaccine makers and world health authorities and so on. So we see this whole thing unfolding. So I'm sure some of you have some questions about all this. We're trying to anticipate your questions, try to give you some of the answers. There's questions about should you get on an airplane with a mask and these kind of things. All I can say is get some vitamin D, build your defense, because I never get on an airplane without taking some vitamin D and some quercetin, and make sure when you're traveling you do that, because there's a bigger threat that you would get tuberculosis from somebody on the plane traveling from a foreign country than there is that you would get the swine flu, and that's been there all along. And so the tuberculosis is a lung airborne infection, is transmitted from person to person, and you could be sitting right next to the person who has tuberculosis. It gets in the air system of the airplane and then can contaminate many, and so then you become TB positive, you've been exposed, and so on. Whether you develop the disease depends on your immune system, so you want to keep that charged up.
Well, Bill, why don't you just mention the telephone number where if anybody's interested in contacting you about the resveratrol, which incidentally I've taken for a long time.
This wasn't meant as a commercial tonight. I did develop a pill called Longevinix. It has the vitamin D and resveratrol, quercetin, all those molecules. If you do want to talk to me or find out more, 866-405-4000, 866-405-4000. But this gives people some idea of how to approach this, gives them an idea of some 10-cent cures they can use at home, and to breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief. Though I think we're all dismayed that our country's being taken away from us, and we just really have no idea what they're up to. Now we'll have to wait day by day to see.
And, Chrissy, you pick up the paper in this, every article, things are worse, it's spreading, you know, soon it's going to be every place, all throughout the world, you know, one case in Denmark, you
it's
know what that means?
It's not the flu, it's our government that I'm dismayed over.
We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, Bill, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
I would certainly like to know how in the world that 747 airplane with the two F-16s that flew at 10 o'clock in the morning, the exact...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
I think that they're playing games with our minds. Is there an epidemic? Probably there is. How bad will it be? Well, we know that it's already spread to America. The one child died. Just happened to be a Mexican child who was brought to America because it was so ill and they were trying to get treatment for it. But they planted that idea in your mind. And remember, of course, it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough and convincingly enough, and the president's talking about it, and, of course, he told us what to do. We're to cover our mouths with our hands when we cough. We're to wash our hands frequently. That's how we'll approach the epidemic. Well, certainly I will tell you what we here at our family do, and that is if we start to come down with influenza, the flu bug, or cold, why, we actually have vitamin D3, which we, and we take actually one of those every 4 hours, and two alibiotic. Alibiotic is simply a product which comes out from one of the major health products here. It's I won't name it, but if you look at our label, RL label, you'll know who manufactures it for us. But it contains oil of oregano, allicin, which is the active ingredient in garlic. It contains the elderberry juice, elderberry extract, and a couple of other things. They're herbal extracts, which really do seem to help. Now, I can't tell you that the FDA has approved this, but I will tell you that I and my family, when we start to come down with it, why we take two alibiotic capsules and one vitamin D, and we take that every 4 hours until we get feeling better, and we may get 20 or 30 thousand units of vitamin D a day, and you can do that for several days and not getting any problems. The main thing is you want to mobilize your immune system. And of course, vitamin C along with that, up to the point where you begin to get a little looseness in your bowel movements, will do a lot to help mobilize your immune system. And that's what you really want to do. Suddenly, you have to understand that we certainly are facing diseases all the time. We have to keep our immune system primed. Certainly, if you look at these statistics, there's far less cancer in the southern parts of the United States and as you move down towards the equator. Why? Because the people are getting large doses of vitamin D. This is an amazing product. We've been told, I know when I went to medical school, everybody was concerned about vitamin D intoxication. Let me tell you that this will really help your level of your bones. It'll help your immune system. It truly is the miracle of the sunshine vitamin. So if you'd like more information, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Again, that's vitamin D3, and if you are coming down with something, 5,000 units, not 1,000 units. The NIH says, 1,000 units a day, you know, and that is totally inadequate, and this is one reason why we have so much disease. So many of the things that the government comes out with are, of course, counterproductive. Why would they tell us things that are counterproductive? Well, there's a population control agenda. If you haven't seen my talk on the planned population reduction, the DVD's available. We have another one called None Dare Call It Genocide. We have another one called Population Control. You can actually go up on the internet and type in the Population Control Agenda monograph. People have posted my treatise up there. You can get it off our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Pull down the Population Control Agenda monograph, or if you get any of our products, why, we'd be glad to send you a free copy of it. It'll go into the background of the fact that there really are people out there who want to drastically reduce the number of people in the world. Why do you think the government for years was subsidizing tobacco? Do you think that they didn't know it was killing people? Of course they knew it was killing people. Why do you think that they were so anxious to get abortion through and to encourage our young girls to be promiscuous and go ahead and get pregnant because, well, then they have to have an abortion? There really are people out there who believe in euthanasia. Why do you think we outlawed DDT, which brought back malaria with a vengeance throughout the world? Well, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Ignatius Piazza, and of course, Dr. Piazza was a chiropractor who practiced here in the Aptos area, very close to where I lived for a number of years, and was extremely successful. And then he took on a new vocation. And he has a center up in Nevada called Front Sight, where they actually teach people about gun use of guns, safe use of guns. And of course, you get a chance to go up there and learn gun safety and fire various types of guns and become proficient in the use of firearms. Dr. Piazza, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Why don't you just go ahead and tell our listeners how you got interested in this and how it all came about?
Well, I was just your average gun owner. I had owned guns for years, and I'd shot them at the range, and I thought I was pretty good with a gun. And again, I owned a lot of guns. And then one day, a random drive-by shooting in my quiet upscale neighborhood, you know, brought me to a realization that even though I owned guns, I had never really been taught how to use a gun when it's needed most, to defend yourself or your loved ones in a life or death situation. Now, fortunately for me, it was just a random drive-by shooting, and it was not a home invasion or anything like that. So I survived it, but I also remembered lying there on the floor as bullets were hitting the house. I remember saying to myself, what would I do, or what should I do? So after that happened, I sought out some training, and I didn't want just any training. I wanted to get the very best training. So I went around on a quest to become as proficient as any law enforcement or military personnel could be, and I trained with, at the time, the best trainers and the best schools in the country. And each time I attended one of these 4 or 5 day courses, I recognized that there was a big need for this. And I would be training with law enforcement and military personnel right alongside of private citizens. And it was great training, but it had a real military hard edge to it. Nothing that you would want to bring your wife to or your kids, you know, when they get to the point where they're driving a car and they're now able to use a firearm. It wasn't that kind of place. So I thought, you know, if I start a school that is an environment that you would welcome your family to attend with you, yet still provided a level of training that far exceeds law enforcement or military standards, but clearly without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, people would want to come to it. So I did that, and I started it in April of 1996 on some leased facilities in Bakersfield, California. And by the end of that year, we were training as many people as the school that had been around for 25 years that I had attended. And then I purchased 550 acres about 45 minutes from Las Vegas, and we transitioned over to that location, and we've basically been doubling every year ever since. And we now train, you know, 15,000 people a year in handgun, shotgun, rifle. We even offer submachine gun and M16 courses, empty hand defense, edged weapons. We also have a children and youth safety program. And it just continues to grow and grow and grow. And we've really enjoyed the journey, and we love training law-abiding citizens and law enforcement officers side by side, because we think that makes for the best community policing policies that you could ever have. And we also see a lot of military personnel who come and take classes with us and get tuned up before they're sent off into harm's way.
Well, that really is amazing. And so actually the police officers are actually coming to you for training?
Yes, many police officers and military personnel come to us on their own dime, because basically we provide a higher level of training than what they receive in their own department.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Ignacio Piazza, who's really come up with a unique idea. When we first knew him, I never, here in this area, I never thought he'd go into this. Well, now, of course, this must have really been quite a transition from you, from being a family chiropractor to becoming, of course, a major trainer of people across America. Is there anything like you have really elsewhere? In other words, there's lots of places you can train for guns, but nothing quite with the family atmosphere that you have.
Yeah, there really isn't anything quite like what we do, and that's the reason why people come from all over the country to take the classes and come back repeatedly. And we have different lifetime memberships that people can purchase so that they can train literally for the rest of their lives in the most affordable manner possible. And I want to make sure that your listeners take full advantage of everything that we offer, because we have a lot of free services as well. I have a gun training report series. It says on the website 15 gun training reports, but I've really written over 30. And this is some of the same information that we provide in our courses that people literally come across the country to receive and spend thousands of dollars to attend. And this information is available for anybody free of charge. All they need to do is just go to our website, put in their primary email address and their first name, and they'll get a series of reports. We send them out about every 2 to 3 days. And again, that's absolutely free of charge. And they can really start to get an understanding of what we teach and why we teach it. And some of the tips that we give them, people really don't know until they come out and take a class with us. So I would encourage them to do that. It's real simple. It's frontsight.com, FrontSight.com. And I've written these gun training reports specifically for people to give them a head start on what it is that we teach, and so that encourage them to come out and take a class with us at some point.
Well, what do you teach specifically there?
Well, our biggest, most popular courses are the 4-day defensive handgun course. Because in that 4-day course, you are either in the classroom for very thought-provoking lectures on moral and ethical decisions and the use of deadly force, the color code of mental awareness, problems 2 and 3. You know, problem 1 is basically solving the gunfight, you know, saving yourself. Problem 2 and problem 3 is the potential criminal and civil liability that follows any shooting. There's also supplemental lectures on the proper handgun selection, shotgun, rifle selection. So you're either in these lectures, or you're on the range with live fire training drills, or you're in our live fire tactical simulators. And it's about 6 days of training in 4. So it's a very intense learning environment. But it's perfect for anybody. I mean, we train people that are in their 70s and 80s. So as long as you can walk up to the firing line, stand there for the 10 minutes to do your shooting and walk back, you're physically able to take these classes. So in that 4-day period of time, you literally will leave.
Hold that time. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, I guess it's Dr. Ignatius Piazza, and we're talking about his Front Sight training program, and you can get his material off the internet site. And of course, he tells you really, of course, all the things you really need to know about the use of weapons. And certainly, we were just talking about some of the tips that they give to people. Go right ahead there.
Yeah, as I was saying, if you come out and take a four-day class with us, at the end of that 4 days, you will literally have better skills than 95% of the people that carry a gun for a living. And that includes the good guys like law enforcement and certainly includes the bad guys that you may have to come up against in some type of a home invasion, robbery, or assault. So it's truly life-changing for a lot of people because they've owned guns. They were like me. They've owned guns and they've shot guns for years, but were never really trained on how to use a gun when it's needed most. So whether you've been shooting for 20 years or you're brand new and have never shot a gun before, these classes are perfect for you. In fact, probably 25% of the students that come to us don't even own a gun. They come to us, they rent all of our equipment, it's very affordable, and then at the end of that 4 days, they know exactly what it is that they want in terms of a personal defense weapon, and they're not wasting any money buying the wrong thing. They go right to their gun shop, and local gun shop, and pick out what they want, and they're good to go. And at that point, we often see them, numerous times as they take other classes and continue to improve their skills and bring family members and friends with them. And it's one of the reasons why we've literally doubled every year since we started way back in 1996 with 10 students in a two-day defensive handgun course on some leased facilities. Now we've got the biggest facility in the country. We train more students out at Front Sight than all of the other schools in the country combined. And again, it's very rewarding. You asked how did I go from being a chiropractor to this. The common thread there is helping people. You know as well as I do, Stan, as doctors, our goal is to help people. And I simply went from helping people with their health to helping them defend their own lives and defend the lives of their families. And it's very gratifying to see the change that occurs in people when they come out and take a course with us and achieve what we call the comfort of skill at arms, knowing that you can take that tool, that weapon, and use it to defend your life when it's needed most. And that's what it's all about with Front Sight.
Well, I think we're moving into an increasingly lawless society, certainly living where we do. We live in one of the most ideal areas in the entire world. And yet, of course, just about 40 miles away, we have Salinas 50 miles away. I mean, they seem to have a shooting there almost every day. This is entirely new. It wasn't this way 10 years ago. And, of course, this level of violence is spreading out of the town 20 miles from us. And then, of course, even in our own little community, where we never had murders increasing. We're seeing this tempo of violence increasing and murders and things happening. People have to begin to realize they're going to have to look after themselves. The police are not going to be there. You certainly want to call them, but they're under no obligation to come legally. And you're going to have to start thinking about how you're going to defend yourself and your family. Now, what sort of weapons should the people have just for home defense? Because this is what most of us would be concerned about, would be want to have something to protect ourselves and our family. And then, of course, we have these laws and rules and regulations that say, well, if you're going to have a gun, it's got to be, either not loaded or it's got to be locked away in a box where it won't do you any good. How do you approach all of these problems? First of all, what sort of weapon should the average family have? Do we want a 45 automatic like they had in this First World War? Do we want a 38 or do we want maybe a 25? What sort of caliber weapon would you have for a man? What would you have for a woman?
Right, well, basically, the first question is, what is it that you want to defend? A handgun is very, very good at defending your personal space out to conversational distances. That's where you're going to use a handgun. A handgun should be looked at much like a life jacket. If you're going to go out on a boat, you have a life jacket. Why? Because there may be an emergency. If you thought you were going to take your boat out on the bay and run into something and sink the boat, you wouldn't go. Or you'd get a bigger boat, right? Well, a handgun's the same kind of thing. You don't know when you're going to have to use this in an emergency situation. So it's very compact. You can carry it on your person if you have a concealed weapon permit. And those are available now in about 35 different states in the union. There are shall-issue concealed carry laws which allow anyone who has no criminal record, no mental illness, they can go down and the sheriff will issue them a permit. California right now is not a shall-issue state, but there is actually some legislation pending right now that would make it such to where the sheriff in any of these counties would, in fact, have to issue a permit. But even taking that outside, if you have a handgun, you can protect yourself within that conversational distance and use it in an emergency situation. If you want to extend your ability to protect yourself to a greater distance, then you really need to have something that's a little bit bigger and a little easier to hit with. And that's where a long gun comes in. And the next level up would be a shotgun. Shotguns are great for distances out to about 25 to 30 yards. They're very good in low light conditions. So that would be the next weapon that somebody should consider having. And then, of course, the king of all weapons is the rifle, because with a rifle you can control your environment out to distances that you can see to identify the targets. So at front sight, we recommend a handgun, a shotgun, and a rifle, and to be skilled with all three, because that gives you the ability to control your environment out to as far as you can see. Now, there are certain tactical environments where handguns work better than shotguns, and shotguns work better than rifles, but that's a completely different discussion. And we do have those discussions at the classes. But if somebody calls me and says, what should I have? I basically say you should have a handgun, and it should be a major caliber. 9mm would be minimum. 40 caliber is better, and 45 is probably the best. And you should have a shotgun. It should be in 12 gauge. Pumps are much more affordable than auto-loading shotguns. And you should have a rifle, and it should be some type of a battle rifle, the same type of rifles that the military uses, but in semi-automatic. So that would be like an AR-15 and .223 is the caliber. Even the AK varieties, which are in 7.62x39, the Springfield Armory M1A, which is a .308. This is what we're talking about in terms of rifles. And, of course, there's also scoped rifles, which double as hunting rifles, and those work well also. And again, we train people in all of these weapon systems and literally make them better than the people that carry guns for a living.
All right, fine. Well, now what about for a woman? You know, it's a 45. Certainly that's a little heavy for the average woman to have, isn't it?
Well, you know, what we tell people is you want to carry the biggest gun that you can comfortably shoot to deliver two quick-sighted shots onto a target 3 to 5 yards away. So the size of the gun, with the techniques that we teach, the size of the gun isn't as important as how comfortable it is in their hand. If a woman is 5'3", 5'4", they can shoot a 40 caliber weapon without any problem at all. If they're 5'7", 5'8", a 45, they can shoot without any problem at all. So we can teach them how to do that. The proper gun handling, the proper grip, the proper stance will dictate their ability to use the gun. Quite often women are saddled with this revolver concept, and there's nothing wrong with the revolver. But, you know, a little snub-nosed .38 special that they put in their purse, that's a very difficult gun to shoot well because it has next to no sights on it, and it's got a long, heavy trigger pull. We quite often put people that have never shot a gun before, including women, we put a Glock, a semi-automatic pistol in their hand, and by the end of that 4 days, they're doing great with it, and that's the gun that they end up going home and buying. And people will say, my gosh, a Glock, isn't that that's the weapon that law enforcement use. That's like an advanced weapon. No, it's a very simple weapon to use. And the simpler the weapon, the better you're going to be with it once you're taught how to use it properly. Quite often I hear people say, well, for a woman, the best gun in the nightstand is a .38 or a revolver. They don't have to do anything with it. They just pick it up, point, and shoot. Yeah, it is. They can pick it up, point, and shoot. But that doesn't mean that they hit anything with it. You want a gun that you can hit with. That's what makes it count. And you can hit with a semi-automatic pistol much easier than you can with a revolver. And that's because the trigger mechanism on this semi-automatic pistol is much easier to operate than it is with a revolver. And the sights on a semi-automatic pistol are much better than that you normally find on, a snub-nosed .38. So those are some of the things, again, that we cover in my gun training reports so that people can really get educated about this and not be living with, the myths that have been passed down over the years from people that really didn't quite know what they were talking about, but they heard somebody say it one time, or they heard somebody talking at a gun shop about it, and these things just get perpetuated forever.
Well, now, what happens if you're in your home and somebody actually comes into your home? You don't know whether they're armed or not. I mean, do you have the right to shoot at them? What are the restrictions here in California, and are there different laws throughout the country when somebody actually comes into your home against your wishes?
Well, what's going around the country right now is something called the Castle Doctrine, which basically states if somebody's in your home, you have the right to defend yourself no matter what, and you have the right to shoot them if you choose to. That's catching on in a number of states. Here in California, you're held to this standard that a reasonable person faced with the same situation that you were faced with would feel that they were in immediate danger of immediate bodily injury or death, meaning you feared for your life or your safety. And if that was reasonable based on what an average person would consider reasonable, then you're allowed to use deadly force to defend yourself. So there's some subjectivity into it. This is why when you hear of people being involved in shootings, the news reporter will often say, the law enforcement is looking at the shooting and determining whether or not any charges will be pressed, because they're looking at the circumstances and would a reasonable person in that situation have feared for their life to the point of using deadly force to defend themselves. So in California, it's subjective. In other states, they're passing this Castle Doctrine, which makes it quite objective. Someone breaks into your home, armed or unarmed, you have the right to shoot if you feel necessary.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, I suppose then if somebody was really curious, broke into the home, they saw you, they started to run out of the home, that you...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Because if somebody did break into your home, what would you do? Now, of course, Ignatius was basically saying that, I mean, this idea of having guns every place in your house, you know, just to, so doesn't matter where you are, you're going to have a gun, is a little illogical. Not only suddenly if somebody broke into your house, they'd get to the guns quicker than you would. Number two, of course, if somebody is injured in your home, a child, from using a gun that is not locked away or in a and secure, why? Because you are liable for that. So what is the solution to the problem, to the quandary?
Well, what I like to recommend to our students is a company called V-Line. That's V as in Victor, hyphen Line, L-I-N-E. And they have some great lock boxes that have a series of buttons on them, and you can access a gun. If you want to have a gun in every room, that's fine. Get one of these V-Line cases. And what it has is a little knob on it and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 buttons. I'm looking at one right here that's under my desk. And you can code these buttons so that you can easily open it and access it. It's just as fast, really, as having a gun in a holster. I mean, it can be that fast if you're next to that box. Now, with that said, the safest and the best gun is the one that's on you. So if you have a gun in a holster and you carry a gun with you, then that's really the safest, because the kids aren't going to get to your gun, and someone breaking into your house is not going to get to your gun. But there has to be a time when you take that gun off at some point. It should go in one of these V-line cases. They also have them for vehicles. They have them in lots of different sizes that will handle handguns, shotguns, rifles. I would imagine it's vline.com, or just search on the Internet for V-line gun vaults. And that's the way to go, because it has immediate access. You know what the code is. Your kids are not going to get to it. If someone breaks in, they're not going to be able to get to it if you bolt it to the floor or you bolt it to in a closet. That's what we recommend. And it, again, this is in our gun, one of the gun training reports, because this is a common question that people have, and this is one of the better solutions to that.
All right, fine. How expensive are the boxes? Any idea?
They're you know, it's been a while since I've purchased one, but I think they're, you know, somewhere in the area of $75 to $80 for the smaller ones. Maybe they're over $100 now. I don't know.
Well, because when you're dealing with an expensive gun, and you get a Glock out there, you're talking about a moderate amount of money.
Yeah, you're going to spend, you know, on a major caliber handgun of any quality, you're going to spend $400 to $600.
Right.
So when you buy that, you might as well buy one of these V-Line cases. And, you know, I don't get anything from V-Line from saying this. I just find that, you know, they are the best company out there that's making these right now.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the other things. Right now, of course, there's a lot of talk about there being shortages of guns and ammunition. A lot of people are concerned that Mr. Obama, who's got a lot of good friends who are hardline revolutionaries, who actually worked for with a group that were tied into one of the leading radicals of our time, a man who wrote Rules for Radicals, you know, and who actually dedicated his book to Lucifer, that maybe this man, as President of the United States, would like to disarm the American people. I understand that a lot of the gun stores right now are having a hard time keeping in ammunition, having a hard time keeping guns in. They're moving out so quickly.
Yeah, you know, I've featured this information on my Monday blog. That's another thing that once people subscribe to the Gun Training Reports, every Monday I put out a blog. And several weeks ago, I covered this information. My personal opinion on it at this point in time is that there is not any conspiracy out there to force the ammunition manufacturers out of business or restrict their ability to create ammunition. I think what has occurred since Obama has been elected is that people are afraid that with the control that Congress has and the person that's now the President of the United States, that there's going to be an attempt to confiscate firearms or regulate firearms more drastically than we've ever seen it in our lifetimes. So people immediately started buying guns. And the frenzy, the gun-buying frenzy and the ammunition frenzy has continued. So I think right now it's simply much more demand than the manufacturers had in their inventory and or can keep up with in terms of production. We're seeing, again, we train 400 or 500 people a weekend, and we have, we provide ammunition in our pro shop, and we've had a very difficult time, getting all the ammunition that we need. We've been able to do it, and we'll continue to do it, but I've got 3 full-time people. That's all they do. They're on the phone all day long trying to find ammunition from all these different sources, and the prices have gone, out of this world. In fact, here locally in Santa Cruz County, you walk into one of the sporting goods stores and a box of 45 is over $50 for 50 rounds. That's $1 a round. I mean, that's ridiculous. But
hold that thought. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Stan Mack here, and our guest is Dr. Ignatius Piazza. We're really talking about guns. We're talking about the shortage of ammunition. They've been talking about they want them to number the cartridges or something ridiculous like that so they can identify the cartridge if a cartridge is found at the site of a crime. And certainly, whether this is ever going to go through, it seems to me totally impractical, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, I believe that legislation, which has been introduced a couple of different times, is basically stalled in committee. I don't think it had any co-sponsors, and it's impractical. Everybody knows it's impractical, and quite frankly, it's the same thing about guns, serial numbers on guns. Well, the guns that are used in crimes quite often have the serial numbers removed. They're stolen guns. They grind the serial numbers off of them. So what are you going to do? Somebody steals ammunition, they're going to use it in a crime. They'll deface the serial number on the ammunition. So their idea of creating a serial number on the bullet, and even the forensic people say that's not practical. So that thing's going nowhere fast. So I don't think anybody has to worry about that.
But you're saying there really is a shortage of ammunition at the present time.
Oh, there's an absolute shortage of ammunition compared to the demand for it. It's just the demand is just outpaced the manufacturer's supplies. Plus, you've got law enforcement. They're buying more ammunition than ever before. The federal government itself is buying as much ammunition as they can. They've got 2 war fronts they're fighting. Homeland Security is worried about a massive civil unrest. If the country goes bankrupt, there's just everybody stockpiling ammunition, and the private citizen is the last one to get it. That's why the prices are going up, and that's why you can't find it on the shelves in Walmart. But believe me, the manufacturers are in the business of selling ammunition, so they're ramping up as fast as they can. They still, at this point, are not able to keep up.
All right, fine. Well, would you mind taking some calls if have some people out there have some questions?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, well, just hang on. We'll bring all of our stations back on board and just... Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess is Dr. Ignatius Piazza, and of course we've been talking about Front Sight. First of all, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Dr. Piazza, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And then, of course, why don't you go ahead and get your website out there and tell people, you know, somebody just called in and wanted to know what the price of a four-day program is for an individual, for a family. Oh, why don't you put a little plug in for your business?
Okay, sure. Well, let's have everybody go to www.frontsight.com. When you see the home page, there's some things you should do. Number one, sign up for the free gun training reports by putting your primary email address in and your first name. Secondly, if you're not able to come out and take a class right away, the manuals will allow you to get, again, an additional head start on the techniques that we teach. And the best deal that we have going right now is what we call the Greatest Course Gun and Gear Offer. You can get a five-day course. This is the four-day defensive handgun class, plus the 30-state concealed weapon permit course. It's regular $2,500. You can get that for $1,199, and we'll throw in all of the gear and the gun that you need for the class. So you'll get a brand-new Springfield Armory XD pistol in your choice of 9mm, 40, or 45, plus the belt, holster, magazines, mag pouches, flashlight, hat, shirt, even a front sight logoed knife, and all the training manuals. So it's an offer that we created so that anybody...
Hold that call for just a moment here. All right, here we just want to get Dr. Piazza back on. Having a little trouble with our board? Go right ahead, Ignatius.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, right ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we're just having a little mechanical difficulty. Okay. We're just saying that they can get all of these things for $1,100. Now, what about meals? What about getting some place to stay?
There's three hotels within 20 minutes of the training site, and they all provide special rates for our students. And they run anywhere from $35 to $75 a night. There's a link on the website called Frequently Asked Questions, and it will actually take you through the entire experience that you would have at FrontSight from the time you call our office to inquire about what's available all the way through getting your certificate at the end of the course and walking off the site. And it basically answers every question that's ever come up about FrontSight, and it gives you map directions, what to wear, what to bring, hotels to stay at, even how to transport your weapon through the airlines. When you go up to the ticket counter, shows you how to declare the weapon and have them take the weapon for you and transport it on the plane in the belly of the plane with your luggage. So everything's right there. That website, it's basically for you. Just go out and take a look at it. Subscribe to the gun training reports. Take advantage of the offers. There's a lot of free stuff on there because we simply want to make it easy for law-abiding citizens to get this level of training.
Well, now you mentioned if you take the course and you can end up with a choice of a weapon of your choice. Is that, what is the 9mm? What make is that?
Well, the weapon is the Springfield Armory XD pistol.
All right.
It stands for Extreme Duty Pistol. It's basically a weapon for military and law enforcement, and it's a great gun. And we provide it free as part of this package, and you can choose 9mm or 40 Smith & Wesson or 45 ACP as the caliber. And again, what we normally tell people, just as a rule of thumb, is if you're under 5'4", then choose either the 9mm or the 40 caliber. 40 caliber is a better stopper. You know, it's a better defensive round. If you're 5'4" to 5'8", 5'9", certainly the 40 caliber. Don't even bother with the 9. And if you're taller than that, the 45 will fit your hand just perfectly. Go with the 45. So that's kind of a general rule of thumb that we tell people that have never purchased a gun before and are interested in, well, what would be the best caliber for us?
All right. Our telephone number, of course, is 888-1-888-24-LIBERTY or 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for our guest, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And so you're actually seeing then a tremendous increase in interest in this program. You mentioned that you're, doubling your classes every year?
Yeah, we've doubled in size every year for 13 years. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, after 9/11 or after terrorist attacks or, you know, after Obama got into office. And, you know, we've been through it all. I mean, we've seen it all, and we've just continued to grow. And I think the reason why we grow is because when people come out there and experience front sight. It positively changes their lives, and they want everyone that they care about to experience the same thing. And they go home, and you know, they bring more people to us. Quite often, you know, the husband comes out first, and the first thing out of his mouth on day one is, "My God, I had no idea how much I didn't know about using this gun." And then by the second day, he's saying, "Wow, you know, I can't believe how much I'm learning. But boy, there sure is a whole lot more to learn." And, you know, then by the third day, he's saying, "This is, you know, I can't believe it. I'm so much better than I was when I came here." And then by the fourth day, he's saying, "I can't wait to come back, and I can't wait to bring my wife with me." Then he brings his wife out the second time. She goes through the same process, mental process, and she wants all of the teenagers that they have to experience this. And when they bring the teenagers out, you know, now the teenagers are telling all of their friends, and their friends are telling their families, and, you know, we literally have had people that bring 40 other folks with them on their second class. They literally have organized all their family and friends for an excursion out to Front Sight for a big event. And you know, it's because we provide a great product, and it's a great environment for everybody. Everybody learns. Nobody gets left behind. And at the end of the day, everyone's better. And that's very rewarding for everyone involved with Front Sight.
Well, now, how do you advertise this? How do you actually get people to hear about your program?
Well, you know, really, it's initially, it started all word of mouth. Those 10 students in the first class went home and told probably 10 other people, and it's just grown. Our biggest source of students is word of mouth referrals. We're also, you know, we have the website, and the website gets lots of traffic now. And you'll see pay-per-click type ads, you know, in different content networks on the internet. So if you go on the internet and you search a gun-related term, it's likely that you'll see one of our ads or one of our web pages come up, and you can go there. But the easiest thing is just to put in frontsight.com and go right to our homepage and get all the information right there.
All right. Well, now, Sydney, if you come back a second time, do you take the same course over again, or are there more advanced courses?
Yeah, we have a whole series of courses. Most people start with the 4-day defensive handgun course. If they don't have 4 days, they'll take the 2-day defensive handgun course. And then after that, again, what they've experienced is they've learned a ton, and they also know that there's so much more to learn. So they'll come back and take a 2-day handgun skill builder class, and then a 2-day advanced tactical handgun, and then maybe they'll go into the 4-day handgun combat master prep, which is the highest level of handgun training that we provide for range activities. We also have tactical scenarios classes where the entire course is nothing but tactical simulators that they go through. Some of them are live fire. Some of them are even force-on-force training where they're actually going up against another human being, but instead of shooting lead bullets, the guns shoot a paint bullet. Then many of them will branch off and take a shotgun class. We have a similar program through the shotgun, and then we also have a rifle class. And then those that are really interested in taking even more training, we've got the submachine gun courses and the select fire M16 courses. We have precision rifle classes where we can teach you to use a precision rifle out to 1,200 yards. So it's a Disneyland for the adult gun owner. If you want this level of training, you would have to go into the military and go into one of the special operations units like a SEAL unit or a Ranger unit and spend several years in there to get the same level of training that you could get over, several courses with us. And that's why we have, you know, lots of professional people, doctors, lawyers, business owners, coming out and taking these classes and bringing their families and gaining this comfort of skill at arms that they can't get anywhere else.
Well, that really sounds exciting. Now, basically, what are the laws here in the state of California as far as, you know, they say that, of course, you can't have an assault weapon. They describe anything that's semi-automatic as an assault weapon. What are the restrictions on the size of the thing that carries the cartridges?
The magazine?
The magazine, right.
Yeah, I believe in California it's 10 rounds. You're not supposed to have anything over 10 rounds. That was a law that occurred, I forget how many years ago, but magazines that had more than 10 rounds were essentially grandfathered into that. So there are a lot of people carrying guns that have more than 10 rounds in them because they had the gun and they had the magazine prior to the law.
Does that include rifles as well?
Yeah, that includes rifles as well.
So if you had the gun, then it's perfectly legal to have it.
That's correct. Now, the assault, the quote-unquote assault weapons ban that occurred, my gosh, what was that, 1989, I think? I can't remember. It's been so long. That required people to register the guns to remain legal. And it was actually one of the greatest examples of civil disobedience in California's history, because there were less than 600,000 people registered. There were less than 600,000 guns registered. And clearly, in a state the size of California, there's a whole lot more than that. And even law enforcement officers were supposed to register their guns, and many of them didn't. So they pass these laws, and people comply to the best of their ability. But the criminals, they laugh. You know, criminals are not going to register their weapons. They're not allowed to have weapons anyway. A perfect example is this recent shooting in Oakland. You know, this is a felon on parole who has these weapons. Do you think the assault weapon ban prevented him from having the weapons that he had? Did the 10-round magazine law prevent him from having a handgun with multiple magazines and magazines that exceeded that 10-round limit? Heck no, because criminals, they're not going to comply with any law. All these laws do is shift the balance of power into the hands of the criminal, because the law-abiding follow it, and the criminals don't. So it's just ridiculous. These laws don't stop crime. If they would simply prosecute the people that break the laws, we'd be a heck of a lot further ahead. And now with budget cuts, they're talking about early release for these people because of, you know, prisons are overcrowded, they don't have the budgets, the staff, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And by taking guns away from the law-abiding, you're simply giving the criminal a happy hunting ground, and that's just not right.
Well, do you have any special rates for families at all? In other words, you come and you bring your wife and a couple of kids.
People need to subscribe to the gun training reports, because in those reports, we have some special offers for people's first course. So it gives you the opportunity to get some certificates at a significant savings to bring yourself and your family members out to Front Sight. So I can't emphasize enough to your listeners that if you're interested in what we're doing at Front Sight, go to the website and the website at frontsight.com, FRONTSIGHT.com, and give us your first name and primary email address. And we'll send you these gun training reports, and there are some great offers in there for you, and it will help you get prepared.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment for our guest, why, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Cindy, how do the law enforcement, FBI, and others feel about the fact that you are training people to defend themselves from violent attacks in their homes?
You know, we've never had any problems at all in the 13 years that we've been out at Front Sight. We've never had any problems at all with any law enforcement agencies, any federal agencies. They've come out to take our courses, overtly, coming out, letting us know, that they are with the FBI or the DEA or, the CIA or whatever you want. We've even had Secret Service agents out there taking classes. And I'm sure they've come out covertly to check us out as well. And that's okay, too, because, we're not doing anything improper. We are training law-abiding citizens. People that come and take our classes have to sign a statement of no criminal history, mental illness, or substance abuse. They have to get somebody in their community that's known and respected to sign a character witness statement saying that they have known this person for 5 years and believe that they are a good candidate to receive this training. And then on top of that, they have to have a criminal background check done. So this is the highest standard in the industry, and the people that come out and take classes at Front Sight are good law-abiding folks, and those agencies that have come out to check Front Sight out have recognized that. And again, we've just not had any problem. I mean, the fact is that law enforcement come out and take our classes, and they train right alongside these law-abiding citizens. And I think that's good for the country. It's good for citizens to get to know law enforcement and vice versa. And, you know, after all, we are all Americans first, and that's an important concept that needs to remain in this country regardless of what may occur in the future.
I agree with you totally, and I think you're really providing a very important service for people. In fact, as I talk to you, I just wonder about trying to get away for a weekend. What days do you ordinarily do this? Do you do it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or how does it work?
Yeah, the courses normally start on Friday and run through Monday. So a two-day course would be Friday, Saturday, and a four-day course would be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. The very popular 30-state concealed weapon permit course, that runs on a Tuesday. And that's a great course because you can receive, through this training, you get everything you need to apply for and receive non-resident permits in the state of Florida, Nevada, and Utah. And there are reciprocity agreements in place with these three states that allow you to carry in over 30 states in the United States. And people in California say, well, is it good in California? Well, California is not one of those states that provides non-resident concealed weapon permits. Therefore, they don't have reciprocity with these other states. But if you're a California resident, having the 30-state CCW helps you in getting a permit, because you need to understand there are some counties in California that are essentially shall issue. The sheriffs in those counties believe that society is safer when law-abiding citizens carry concealed weapons because criminals don't know who's armed and they're less likely to commit violent crimes in public places. So they issue permits. You go to that county that you live in and you ask the sheriff to issue a permit. You take a 1 or 2 day class at the county, they issue the permit. Other counties are much more strict. But the sheriff has to make the decision, and if you walk in and you have an application that shows you've already been checked out by the FBI, you already have permits in other places, you've already taken, you know, a 4-day class with us plus an advanced concealed carry class, that makes your application look a lot better for that particular sheriff. He feels more comfortable because the liability has been spread out. He understands that you've received top quality training and that you're a responsible individual, and that helps.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Better over there in Nevada and taken training and really come away with vast knowledge, and they just felt so good about it. I know one of my best friend's sons went over there with his son, and they had a great weekend together. So suddenly just something in passing, and we're going to look into these lock boxes. I think it might be something that we might even carry here through Radio Liberty if they're available, because I think it's important that you have a box and you know how to get into that box so that you can have a weapon to protect yourself. We're living in a very, very strained society, ladies and gentlemen, and the America that I grew up in doesn't exist today, and I doubt it ever will again. Our telephone number, if you'd like to get some of our material, you'd like to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which explains to you why the world is changing. It will tell you things that very, very few people will tell you about why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools, knowing full well it would end up with a godless, chaotic society like we have today. While my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is seminal to understanding what's going on, the telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You can get the book, get the DVD. You can get the special with the book, the DVD, and an audio tape. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness special. If you'd like to get the book and distribute it, as many people do, you can get a decreased price as you get more of them. And then, of course, we suggest my talk on the Forbidden Secret. The Forbidden Secret, and then, of course, going along with that is the syllabus that will help you to understand better what we're talking about. The information is there. You hear it all the time, and yet you don't recognize it. They hide their symbols in plain sight on the back of the dollar bill. And incidentally, if you haven't yet seen the DVD, The Eye of the Phoenix, why it is available through Radio Liberty. In fact, basically, we have a special on that. You can get the three DVDs in the Secret Mystery series. The first is The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. The second is Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And then the third is The Eye of the Phoenix. You can get them separately, or certainly you can get all three of them together for $59.95 plus shipping, a suggested gift of $59.95 plus shipping. This is a great deal. And these will give you tremendous information you need. It's very professionally done. I think that the people who put these out have done a magnificent job. In fact, they're even talking about the fourth in this series. The information you need to know, how do you understand what's going on? Was America created as a Christian nation? Was it created as a pagan nation by the Masons who wanted to use America, its wealth and its military power, to bring about a world government? What is the truth? And, of course, it will help you better to understand what's going on and what your moral obligation is to be involved. We have a number of great other issues. We have the freedom documents put together by Chuck Baldwin. Chuck Baldwin ran for the presidency on the Constitution Party ticket, and the reason you never heard of him is because the people who control our media hate the Constitution. But the freedom documents are all the basic documents which America was founded on, from the Mayflower Compact up into the Gettysburg Address. So I think there are about 40 different documents. You need to have them readily available at your fingertips to understand what America is about. We have a wonderful book, America's God and Country, by Bell Federer, and of course it goes into the beliefs, the religious beliefs of the men who created this country. And then, of course, we have another book written by a man who was a Satanist. His name was Manly P. Hall. He was one of the leading Satanists of the last century. In fact, it was his influence that put the occult emblems on the back of the dollar bill. His book is The Secret Destiny of America. You won't find it in our catalog or listed, but you can order that at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. The Secret Destiny of America. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
From the mountain to the prairie, to the old...